Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. And so we hear the final words of our Lord as recorded in the second gospel. And what do they amount to but a series of strange predictions and outlandish promises? In a couple of verses, we have the Sedes Doctrinae for snake handling, healing ministries of all stripes, and the charismatic movement. I know that some of you came to the Lutheran Church to get away from such things. Happily, there is a way out of this mess. As fledgling textual critics, we can take refuge in the fact that these words of our Lord do not appear in the earliest manuscripts of the second gospel, a fact attested to by the likes of Eusebius and Jerome. So, in our piety, we may choose to write these words in red letters because they were spoken by Christ. Then, we might just take out our scissors and cut them out of the Bible entirely. But then if we don't accept these verses as being in some way original, we're stuck with a rather dreadful ending. If you have doubts, try it out on Easter. On the glorious day of the resurrection, you will proclaim, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." So much for the first evangelists. This is the gospel of the Lord. If you're seeking a grand rhetorical crescendo, there's frankly not much to work with. To be sure, the irony is rich. The Lord is risen, yet we, the church, still cower in fear and conform ourselves to the expectations of a dying world. How odd and worthy of a sermon or two. Be that as it may, your congregation will no doubt protest that ending, as did Mark's first readers. After 40 days of Lent, they will demand a little good news, or at least a happier ending, and you would do well to deliver. And to be fair, the apostles did, after all, drive out demons. And they did speak in tongues, not that they babbled, mind you. And Paul, for one, was known to have some power over snakes well before St. Patrick raised the practice to an art form. And certainly in the name of our Lord, the apostles healed those who were sick and even raised the dead. And John supposedly drank poison and lived, though the other apostles were not as blessed with the gift of invulnerability. And if we deny these verses, so also, I suppose, do we risk tossing aside a more golden nugget, the verse which precedes all the talk about tongues and snakes, namely, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And this is, of course, the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of faith and salvation. For all of our doubt and hard-heartedness, he still brings us to salvation. And so today I offer a few words in defense of these final Markan verses. Not simply as an objective bystander, but as one who reads the papers of others and occasionally tries to write his own, and one who has found time and again that first drafts are rarely acceptable. And if we are not blessed with the signs which accompanied the apostles, if we are not able to speak in tongues, if for that matter our Greek is poor and our English is suspect, if we cannot by our shadows or cloaks offer healing to the sick, and we're not even sure of our ability to perform CPR, If we find that we are not immune to the venom of snakes, even less to the criticism of others, then we might take some solace in the fact that we have something better than the apostolic signs. We have the apostolic word, the word by which ordinary water becomes a fountain of life, the word which heals the soul and brings the dead to life, the word which turns those of us with stammering tongues into messengers of salvation, the word which causes the serpent to cower and brings salvation to the nations. And in this apostolic word, we have the risen and incarnate word. And when, like the women at the tomb, we are bewildered and afraid, he comes to us and says, "Fear not, for he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all." Amen.